be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
After Jesus left the synagogue, he entered the house of Simon. Simon's mother-in-law was afflicted with a severe fever, and he interceded with him about her. He stood over her, rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up immediately and waited on them. At sunset, all who had people sick with various diseases brought them to Jesus. He laid his hands on each of them and cured them. And demons also came out from many, shouting, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and did not allow them to speak, because they knew he was the Christ. At daybreak, Jesus left and went to a deserted place. The crowds went looking for him, and when they came to him, they tried to prevent him from leaving. But he said to them, "To the other towns also, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom, because for this purpose I have been sent." And he was preaching in the synagogues of Judea. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today, in this passage from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, he laments, "I could not talk to you as spiritual people," because they weren't cooperating with God's grace to become spiritually mature. He used the analogy of the way we care for babies, infants. "I fed you milk, not solid food, because you weren't able to take it. You're still not able even now." He said the reason why they've remained in a type of spiritual infancy is because they are still of the flesh. They're still living according to the ways of the world. They're still keeping very much alive the old Adam in each of them, rather than allowing the real graces of their baptism to take over, rather than to cooperate fully with the Holy Spirit. And the proof that he gave, like, for example, if we go to his letter to the Galatians, when we talk about the works of the Spirit, we've got there rivalry and dissension and jealousy, things like that, not just sins of the flesh, which were obviously present too in Corinth. But St. Paul was starting with the divisions that come through jealousy and rivalry. "You're still of the flesh," he said, "fighting like little children over," in this case, spiritual toys. "I belong to Paul, I belong to Apollos," later in the same letter, "I belong to Cephas." He said, when people start saying things like this, "Are you not merely men?" In other words, are you not still living to the flesh, according to the flesh? And then he builds them up. If we're going to be spiritually mature, we have to recognize that truly we belong to God. We need to identify with God. We need to follow God's inspiration. We need to recognize that that means turning our back on worldly ways so that we might think and act according to God. In today's gospel reading, we see three examples from the Lord Jesus of true spiritual maturity. What we do when we're living according to the Spirit, as those who have matured to fuller stature in Christ. The first is that we're really willing to sacrifice for others. Jesus had preached pretty much all day in the synagogue. He went to Simon's house as soon as sunset happened in order probably to take a little bit to eat and to wind down. But there Simon's mother-in-law was sick, and they spoke to him, and he didn't hesitate. There he went, and he rebuked the severe fever, think 103 degrees, think about something that could end a life. Jesus rebuked that fever. And as soon as that had happened and people knew that he was at Simon's house, the whole town came, bringing the sick and the possessed. It would have been very easy for Jesus to say, "Listen, I've had a tough day. Can you please come back tomorrow?" It would have been easy for him, with his divine power, to just heal them all at the same time. Instead, he went one by one to each of them, laying his hands on them, and curing them, and casting out the demons that had enslaved them. He developed that time with each person because each person was more valuable than his relaxation. He was capable of being this true person for others. He calls us to follow him along that spiritual maturity. We see an immediate example of it, the same type of spiritual maturity in St. Peter's mother-in-law. As soon as she was sick, she didn't go and do the errands that she hadn't been able to do while she lay on the bed. She didn't rejoice and relax. She immediately got up and waited on them. She served them. She used her health to care for others. That's what those who are following the spirit of mature do. Second great example Jesus gives us in today's gospel is the priority of prayer. To be mature is to prioritize appropriately, not to do things according to our whims, but to do things according to our conscience. To prioritize and follow those priorities. For Jesus, praying was more important than his sleep. The word used in Greek about the time that he got up, it says in the early morning, it was way before dawn. Think about 3:30 or 4 o'clock in the morning, typically. That's what time he got out and went to a quiet place to pray. All the apostles were probably in Peter's home, except those who might have lived in Capernaum. It wasn't a great time for Jesus to pray there without disturbing, so out he went to be able to converse with the Father by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's an incredible witness. The spiritually mature prioritize prayer. Lots of times we're not in a perfect condition to pray. We're fatigued. We've got various burdens of one sort or another. But the Lord, who was divine, prioritized prayer, and we need it even more. So the spiritually mature, even though we might not pray well, prioritize it. Third, when the crowds hunted Jesus down because they wanted him to continue to do what he had been doing, how privileged they were to have him among them, it was an incredible receptivity, in immediate contrast to the rejection he experienced in his hometown of Nazareth. Here, people wanted him around at a human level that would have been easy just for him to stick around for a while and appreciate the appreciation and open himself up for the ways that people really wanted to come to him so that he could begin in their lives his salvific work. To be spiritually mature means to be focused on our mission, to be focused on what God is asking of us at all times. And so Jesus said to the other towns also, "I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God, because for this purpose I have been sent." That was probably humanly challenging for Jesus, because he loved those people in Capernaum. But he had a sense of duty, and onward he needed to go. I think it's always providential that we have the 22nd Wednesday each year at a time really of transfers taking place in your community. There are many sisters who would prefer to stay where they are because they really love it in that place. They love the people with whom they're working, they love their fellow sisters, they love the rhythm, whatever. But they're asked to move. Likewise, others are transferred out of convents that we would wish that they would stay at because we care about them very much and We want to continue to nourish the friendship and the collaboration. But out of spiritual maturity and out of their promises, they move on. And real spiritual maturity not only accepts this with some human reluctance, but wills it, because it's what God in fact wills. We always, if we're spiritually mature, need to grasp that the Lord wants us as his disciples with loins girt and sandals on our feet. That here we have no earthly dwelling place. We're always on pilgrimage together with him to the one place in which we will have true rest, the one place for which we're made, the Father's house which he has made our home with a place specially for us. To be real grown-ups means to do things that ordinary human beings living according to the flesh wouldn't, and making ourselves maximally available for whatever the Lord wants, even and especially when he asks us something that's challenging, when we'd prefer to stay, when he says go, and when we'd prefer to go, when he says stay. Today at Mass, Jesus doesn't feed us with spiritual Gerbers. In fact, he gives us a nourishment so that from the inside, he's able to help us grow to full spiritual maturity, so that we might not have rivalry and jealousy and dissension, but in fact true communion in him, so that we might be able together with him to make our whole existence a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, so that we might be able to pray to the Father in communion with him as bride and bridegroom, body and head, so that together with him, strengthened, we might continue to go out to proclaim the good news of the kingdom, because it is for this purpose he has called and sent us.